It's the morning show. I'm John Munson. This hour, it's our state capitol report. Lots to talk about this week, including a look at the new caucus in the state legislature focused on working toward a more bipartisan legislative body. But lots of action in the legislature itself and surrounding it. In just a moment, Laurel White will join me. She is Wisconsin Public Radio's state capitol reporter. But first, here's your invitation to share your views on what's happening in state government. More than just a couple of things come to mind. What do you think of calls for members of the Ethics Commission to resign? What did you make of a report that Speaker Paul Ryan is considering retirement in 2018? Of course, lawmakers are considering changes to laws that would affect tenant-landlord relationships. That story's been in the news. One such change would require renters' eviction records to be publicly available for 10 years. What do you think of that? And what other questions do you have about issues facing the legislature? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Ideas@WPR.org is the email address. You can post to the Ideas Network Facebook page or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Laurel White, thank you for joining me this morning.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, John.
So what's the latest on this John Doe report from the State Department of Justice?
Well, we were getting news on this all the way up until the end of the day on Friday. It's a very fast-moving train. So the latest is that the heads of the state legislature, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald, are calling for the heads of the State Elections Commission and the State Ethics Commission. So those are the two offshoots of the now-defunct Government Accountability Board. They're calling for those individuals to resign in the wake of a State Department of Justice report about the John Doe leak that resulted in that Guardian article in September of 2016. Some people might remember that. It was called Because Scott Walker Asked. So we've got the calls for those resignations, and we heard on Friday that at least the Elections Commission chair, Mike Haas, doesn't sound like he has any plans to go anywhere anytime soon.
Well, Haas says he was surprised by the call and reaffirms that he has the support of commission members on both sides of the aisle.
That's right. So Haas issued a statement saying that he was surprised. You know, he said, I went around and I met with legislative leaders, with senators in particular, because the Senate votes to confirm his position. He's currently serving in an interim role. He hasn't been confirmed by the Senate yet. And he said, you know, I felt like I had really good conversations with all of those individuals. I thought we were on the same page in terms of, you know, what the Elections Commission is working to do in the state. And he said that the Elections Commission met last week. I was actually there for the meeting. They went into closed session and chatted for a little bit. And he said the commission members came out of that meeting and unanimously decided to support him. And there are Republican and Democratic appointees on that commission. So he said everybody across the aisle that I've been working with on this Elections Commission wants me to stay on as their leader.
And the Speaker of the Assembly, Robin Voss, has reaffirmed his commitment to the ouster, and we have some audio for that.
I'm not saying they shouldn't work for state government, but what I am saying is this role is so important, they really have to question whether or not they can do it in an impartial way with the confidence of both sides of the aisle.
So that would seem to contradict what you just told me about Haas and the commission having bipartisan support.
That's right. So what Speaker Voss and a number of other Republicans in the state legislature are saying is that anyone who had involvement with that now defunct Government Accountability Board has no place serving on the elections or the ethics commissions because the Government Accountability Board has been painted in this DOJ report as not being responsible with the secret government documents, those John Doe documents. And Republican leaders like Speaker Voss have said that that John Doe investigation amounts to a political witch hunt. They thought that there was partisan motivation there, an intent to take out some Republicans in the state of Wisconsin. So as you heard Voss say, and that was from an interview on WISN radio, that he just doesn't believe that Republicans in the state legislature can be comfortable with those individuals continuing to serve in a role that has such power overseeing elections and ethics in the state of Wisconsin.
Mm. And what does Governor Walker have to say about all of this?
Well, we got Governor Walker's opinion on Friday, and essentially he declined to weigh in. Here's what he had to say.
The report clearly defined what they thought about the folks involved there. And again, like I said, I think it speaks for itself. Obviously, the legislative leaders chose to take a step beyond that. But in terms of my view on it, I think that the report itself speaks for itself.
So that was kind of, that wasn't unexpected that the governor wouldn't jump in on this, wouldn't you say?
Right. I mean, if the governor chose to weigh in on this, it would kind of be the end of the line. I think if the governor called for these individuals to resign, I think some people saw that as a, kind of a final move and that they would be gone. But we did have kind of a similar checkmate kind of move on Friday, but that didn't come from the governor. That came from Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald.
Yeah, he says he'll use a Senate vote to oust them if they don't resign.
Mm-hmm. And this is a pretty unusual move from what I understand. So as I mentioned before, the Senate has to vote to confirm these individuals. They haven't been confirmed yet. Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald said they haven't held that vote yet because it was kind of back and forth. They weren't quite sure if the support was there to appoint them. But he says now, essentially, if they don't step down, so that's Mike Haas from the Elections Commission and Brian Bell, we haven't said his name yet, from the Ethics Commission, that he will hold those votes in January. And he's not very optimistic that they're going to be approved with this Republican sentiment. So,
well, let's back up a second. What did Attorney General Brad Schimmel say in his report that produced all of this?
Well, there were two big elements to this DOJ report. So this came out, it would have been a week ago last Wednesday. So it's been floating around in the Wisconsin political ether for a while now. And the first thing that it did was it said the Government Accountability Board had systemic and pervasive mishandling in regards to that John Doe evidence. So, or the John Doe documents, rather. So the John Doe documents were part of the investigation into possible illegal activity coordination between Governor Scott Walker's campaign and outside political groups. And about 1,500 pages were leaked to the Guardian newspaper. It's a British newspaper, and they published those in September of 2016. So what this report was looking into was, how did that happen? How did those documents get to this British newspaper? And Schimmel concluded that the GAB mishandled the evidence. And then the other part of the report that was interesting and has been particularly upsetting to many Republicans in the state legislature is what the report calls John Doe 3. There was John Doe 1 way back when the governor was Milwaukee County executive. John Doe 2 is the John Doe that I just referenced about the campaign coordination. There was no separate order for a John Doe 3, so it's not technically another John Doe because there was no court order. But the report says that this particular thing that they're calling John Doe 3 spun off of John Doe 2, and it was so unrelated to what the John Doe was intended to do that it should get its own classification. And the John Doe 3 was looking into state lawmakers who are Republicans doing campaign work on state time, which would, of course, be illegal. And there were a number of personal emails that were collected as part of this John Doe 3 that were kept. And Republicans say that's incredibly inappropriate, and they were very upset by that.
Okay. So Schimmel, he called for disciplinary actions against 9 individuals for this mishandling. What was the conclusion of the report?
Well, the conclusion of the report really is that disciplinary action for those 9 individuals. So those 9 would be found, or he's suggesting that they be found in contempt of court. There are no criminal charges in this report. There's no one individual that Schimmel is pointing to here and saying, this is the person that leaked the documents. There's not that kind of evidence in the report. But he is saying these nine people contributed to this systemic and pervasive mishandling of evidence. And what's interesting and kind of sticky there is that one of those nine individuals still works for the state. He works for the State Elections Commission as their lawyer. His name is Nate Judnick. So his name has been floating around quite a bit in the past couple weeks.
Okay. Well, we need to take a break and catch up on state news. We'll continue our look at the legislature during our state capitol report. Man, we've got a lot of material to cover here with WPR News Laurel White after this break for news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Wondering what you think about what's going on in the legislature? Give us a call. 800-642-1234. Also, email us at the ideas at WPR.org. I'm John Munson. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This hour on The Morning Show, it's the State Capitol Report. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. Laurel White, WPR News State Capitol Reporter, continues with us as our guide on this half hour of the State Capitol Report. And Laurel, man, we got a lot of stuff left to get through. But before we jump to another topic, let's talk a little bit about what the response has been from the leaders of the Ethics Commission to Attorney General Schimmel's report. They actually take issue with a number of things in the report. Can you quickly summarize what their concerns are?
Sure thing. So I think we can boil that down to two primary concerns from the Ethics Commission. So first of all, they said that they believed that the report painted them in a light in which They sort of said it implied that they weren't cooperating, I guess would be safe to say, with the John Doe investigation, that they had somehow contributed to the withholding of documents or they were holding back information that they should have been reporting. Like they knew who leaked the information or what information had been leaked. And their pushback was, hey, a lot of us weren't around. We had no idea this was going on. And we feel like this report is kind of painting us in a bad light that's really unfair. And we want you to come out and issue a statement saying that we cooperated in every instance with the DOJ's investigation of the leak and everything in that regard. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that they said the report painted their security at their commission in a negative light. They said the GAB had security measures in place that weren't adequate that led to the leak, but the Ethics Commission has updated security. It's much more robust than what was in place at the GAB, and they said that the report didn't really acknowledge that. It unfairly equated the two. So they called for Schimmel to issue a couple statements clarifying those elements of the report, and he pushed back and said that he wasn't planning on doing so.
Okay, so he's not going to do what they want. Mm-hmm. That's where we leave it, and the state senate is going to take some action in January, and we'll have new people in the commissions. Is that what you think's going to happen?
That's what it's looking like. It looks like we'll have the vote in sometime in January that won't confirm these two individuals at the top of the elections and ethics commissions, and then we'll get new appointments, and then those individuals will have to be confirmed by the Senate. Maybe that'll happen a little bit more quickly this time around than last time.
Hmm. Of course, some people in the state have found it a little bit ironic that the focus has been on the leaks instead of what was revealed in them and mm-hmm. possible action by the Attorney General's office to prosecute things that were crimes at the time they were done.
Right. I mean, this goes back to the whole conflict of John Doe 2 to begin with, which was some people thought that the actions that were being investigated in the John Doe were legal and that the investigation was completely unwarranted. And others thought that there was harmful illegal activity taking place. And, you know, since the investigation, of course, a number of laws in Wisconsin have changed, laws about things like John Doe investigations themselves, but also coordination between political campaigns and outside groups. So that is, you're right, a primary argument that's been around for quite a while.
Okay. Well, let's quickly shift to another topic here because time is fleeting. One of the stories that was circulating around Wisconsin and around the country is the possible retirement of Speaker of the House Paul Ryan. Mm-hmm. A political report created a wave of headlines and speculation about the future of Congressman Ryan. So the question is he actually considering retirement?
Well, it depends on who you ask. So that Politico report that came out early last week cited 36 sources, which is quite a hefty number of sources. So political insiders, a lot of various Washington, D.C. folks, conservative consultants, things like that. And they all said that Ryan would be leaving Congress next year, that he wouldn't be running for re-election in 2018. So as soon as this report came out, however, Speaker Ryan's spokeswoman issued a statement calling that report pure speculation and said that Speaker Ryan himself said he wasn't going anywhere anytime soon when a reporter asked him that on Tuesday morning. I guess he was leaving a room. Someone shouted the question at him, as political reporters are wont to do, and he just kind of turned over his shoulder and said, no, just no. So, okay. These 36 sources would say otherwise, but the speaker himself says no.
Well, I guess we'll in the course of time, we'll find out whether any of this is true or not. Let's quickly move to some other legislative business of the week. Mm-hmm. What happened this past week? We've got somebody new in the race for governor.
We sure do. So on Monday, we heard that Kelda Royce, who is a former state representative, a Democratic state representative from Madison, formed a campaign committee. She hasn't officially launched her bid for governor yet, but she's made that pretty official step. So she says she's going to roll out the campaign early next year once the holidays pass. And she says when people are more regular, people are paying more attention to politics.
And lawmakers are considering a number of changes to laws governing landlord-tenant relationships in Wisconsin. Where are we on that?
So this is a very lengthy bill. I covered a hearing for this last week, and it has a number of provisions. I feel like we could be reporting on this for weeks. but a couple of the interesting ones in that bill. One would require a renter's eviction records to be publicly available in a database for 10 years. And this is something that renters' advocates are very worried about, because they said even if a renter went through eviction proceedings and was found to be correct, that their landlord had brought that against them unfairly, that would be on their record. Another landlord would search their record, see eviction proceedings, wouldn't look into the verdict in the case, and would deny them a place to live based on that. So they say that would really contribute to people becoming homeless or staying homeless if they have this sort of record.
And what public policy objective would be achieved by having that provision in the bill?
Well, what sponsors of this bill are saying is that the whole package is really meant to make being a landlord easier, more affordable, have less red tape. They said that there are a lot of provisions that are really unfair to landlords in state law. So I think they would argue that that case, you know, helps them notice when people have been evicted, you know, a successful and correct eviction being on their record.
So what's the big thing on the agenda for lawmakers this week? What are you looking at?
So there's a really big bill coming up this week. Thursday, there's a hearing on a wetlands bill that we've been covering. I just checked. I did my first story on it in October. And it would essentially end permitting requirements for state-regulated wetlands.
Hmm. Okay. Well, we will look forward to your reports, Laurel, and hearing more on that important issue. Thank you so much for being on with me this morning.
Thanks for having me, John.
Laurel White is WPR News State Capitol reporter. She joined us with an update on news on the legislature. We're going to turn our attention to a different kind of effort in Wisconsin, and one that we're seeing take place around the nation, which involves young people working together to solve issues like polarization and partisan gridlock. That's coming up next. I'm John Munson. This is the Ideas Network.